Hear the temptation of Jesus to stay and fight or give in to faith from the book of Matthew, chapter 26, verses 47 through 56. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. "The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him." Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, "Do what you came for, friend." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. Do you think I cannot call on my Father, and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" In that hour, Jesus said to the crowd, "Am I leading a rebellion, that you have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts teaching, and you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled." Then all the disciples deserted him and fled. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. Thanks, Drew. I'm always scared I'm going to mess up whoever's stuff is here. All right, I am so glad to be here this morning, and I'm so glad that Wayne is with us this morning. It was a pleasant surprise. Good job, Drew. As we are in yet another week of this series that we've been in for what seems like a long time, really, this Clash of Kingdoms, where we are learning about the temptations that Jesus has faced. Last week, we saw Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, where there he said he was overwhelmed with sorrow and with troubles. The cross was looming in the distance. You know, there we saw Jesus where he was tempted to maybe not want to go to the cross, where he was tempted to want to do or not want to do the hard thing, where he was faced with this decision: do I run or do I stay and face this? Do I choose flight or do I choose courage? You know, last week, when some of you all were making fun of my accent, when I was talking about this whole fight or flight response that we have, you know, that where we get scared or nervous or fearful, and our bodies are designed to help us go into this protective mode. You know, and sometimes this protective mode wants us to flight, to run, and that may be physically run. Maybe it's avoiding something. Maybe it's isolating ourselves. Or it can make us want to fight. And so today, we are going to talk about how Jesus helps us to navigate this fight or faith temptation that sometimes we may have. When we are put in the position where our fight or flight is activated and we are feeling the need to fight, should we? We find ourselves in this passage today that follows immediately after where we left off last week. Here, they are in the garden. It is dark. Jesus has just finished praying. His disciples are with him, and up walks one of his very own, leading a very large and armed crowd. Judas leans in and seals the deal with a kiss. Jesus is arrested. Think about how this would feel for Jesus and for his friends. You know, you can prep me all day long that something is about to happen, and it does not matter. When it happens, I'm going to still feel all of the same emotions. For instance, if you told me that there was a mouse in this room, I am going to go crazy on the inside. Just knowing it is here and that there is a possibility that I might see it will have me all tore up. So you would think that if I did see the mouse, after knowing this whole time that there was a possibility that I would see it, that I would not react. And you would be wrong. I will still go crazy. I'll be jumping and screaming and acting a fool. It's just the way I'm wired. It's just who I am. And so Jesus had been saying for a long time to these disciples that the cross was coming, that he was going to be arrested. So the disciples should have known. They did know. But that didn't change the way they felt when they watched him be arrested. That fight or flight kicked in them, and here they chose to fight. Now, some of you may not know that, or some of you do and some of you don't know, that Drew has two big brothers. And so one of them made some very poor choices in high school. Actually, you're right. Actually, they both did. We all do. But only one of them made the choices that landed him in front of the judge. And so when Drew was an infant, like in the infant carrier, we would all load up and we would go to court and we would go to the appointments and we would go to all the places that we had to go to make sure that we upheld our end of the deal. Well, one day we were just about to have dinner and the doorbell rang. And so I came out of the kitchen and through the living room, and halfway to the door, I saw who was standing there. And I'll never forget, I turned around and I yelled back into the house. I was like, why is the sheriff's department here? And nobody knew. And so I opened the door and I let the deputy in, and he informed me that we, our boy, had missed a court date. What had happened was it was like around one of the school breaks or something, and they had rescheduled court, and we got in the letter and I forgot to write it on the calendar. And so he was there to take my boy to jail. I was just like, you're joking, right? Like, no, you're not really going to take him to jail. Okay, well, if he has to go down, I'll just take him downtown. Like, I can get my car and we'll take him downtown. Or, you know, can we call somebody? And he informed me that he was not joking and that I would not be taking him. It was absolutely terrible. This had to be one of the worst days of my life. And so as this is all playing out and I'm talking back and forth with the deputy and he's getting in the police car, like all these emotions, all these feelings are just running through my body. Like, how am I going to react? But in this place, I knew, even though I hated it, I knew he would be okay. You know, he's scared. And he's mad, and he's hurt, and I can't imagine what he's going through. But as his protector in that moment, I knew he would be okay. But the disciples, yes, they knew what was coming. But where I was able to trust that my boy was going to be okay, they didn't have that. And so they were watching all of this play out, and out of fear, they reacted with violence. Matthew tells us that one of Jesus' companions, which we learn is Peter in the book of John, pulls his sword and cuts one of the servant's ears off. How many of us can see ourselves in this disciple? You know, when life gets crazy, we feel threatened. Somebody is trying to hurt the people that we love. We lash out. We fight back. We use our words or power or fist to hurt them. But here in this instance, we have this response of fight that happens right in front of Jesus, and he tells us how he wants us to respond. He tells Peter, put your sword back where it goes. Jesus tells them and us that violence is not the way, that even in the times where our bodies tell us that we need to fight, that we should choose faith instead. He tells us how he could have called on his Father. He trusted, he had faith, and he chose those over fight, and he tells us to also. I think that this is an important message for us because we might think that in this moment in Jesus' life, justifying a sword would be okay. Jesus might not have been the one who went on attack, but sure, once the attack started, he could justify defending himself. But here, in this moment of the greatest threat, Jesus tells Peter to lower his defenses. And it is precisely the moments that we feel the most threatened that we, like Jesus, need to have a heart of peace, a heart of faith, a heart of courage. When we think of violence, I think that sometimes we automatically jump to the physical stuff, the hitting, the pushing, the fighting. But I think that we can act out of this fight response in other ways as well. And I think it's those ways that sometimes hold the greatest threat. How about when we are parents and our kids come home from school saying that they've been bullied? They're crying because they've had a bad day. As parents and protectors, what do? No, we may not use physical force, but how about our words? Or when you think about how political the world is right now and how divided things are, you know, when you're scrolling through your social media feed and your timeline and you see this article that calls out the other side, do you share it? Or when you see an article for the other side, do you go in and comment on it to make sure that you tell people what's really happening? It's so tempting for us to want to react to the other side, to protect our side, to justify our actions because they need to know. You know, they need to see it. But do they? And honestly, is it our job to be the one to point it out to them? Jesus says, put the sword back in its place. He tells us that he's a big boy. He doesn't need us to defend him. Friends, put your swords up. When we are out trying to change everyone's minds or to make them believe the way that we think that they should or to tell them like it is, which is our truth and a lot of times not necessarily God's truth, we are forgetting this. Jesus has just been handed over to the people who will eventually land him on the cross. And he says, I got this. You don't have to do this for me. I'm not going to fight or flight. I am going to be at peace. I am going to be me. I have told you to turn the other cheek. I have told you to love your enemy and to pray for them. And now I am going to model this for you. I am going to show you how it's done. But you know, Jesus, he didn't just take the arrest either. Even though he models for us to not resort to violence, he also says don't be a doormat and let people walk all over you. He tells them who arrests them, I have been sitting, teaching in the temple all week. I have literally been a sitting duck, and yet you come for me under the cloak of darkness. He names their intentions. Jesus, he's not powerless. He's not a powerless victim in this exchange. No. Here and in the scenes that will unfold, Jesus is the one who's in control, even though it doesn't appear to be that way. In contrast to those who arrest him, those who put him through a sham trial, the soldiers who beat him, those who nail him to a cross, those who walk by and mock him, and all those who appear to be in control but really aren't, Jesus is the one who maintains his faith and acts from his true identity as God's Son. Compared to Judas, to Peter, to Caiaphas, to Pilate, Jesus is the same one, the grounded one, the one at peace in the storm of violence. Just because you don't fight doesn't mean that you are weak. Just because you don't react doesn't mean that you are weak. Just because you don't say something immediately right back does not mean that you are weak. The world that we live in has shown us and tells us that we should fight, but the kingdom tells us the opposite. In Proverbs 29:11, it says, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. The wise bring calm in the end. Sometimes we like to go back to the violence of the Old Testament. You know, those times when we want to justify our violent behaviors and thoughts, the whole eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth philosophy. But I found this quote from Martin Luther King Jr. As I was preparing for today, he's one of the first people that came to mind. This idea of nonviolence was vital to him. How he didn't feel like it solved anything, and how he chose this route, no even like Jesus, that there was a good chance that it would cost him his life. And he said this, he said, "The reason I can't follow the old eye for an eye philosophy is that it leaves everyone blind. Somebody must have sense, and somebody must have religion." I remember years ago, my brother and I were driving from Atlanta to Chattanooga, Tennessee. And for some reason, the drivers that night were very discourteous and were forgetting to dim their lights. And finally, AD looked at me and said, "I'm tired of this now. And the next car that comes by here and refuses to dim their lights, I'm going to refuse to dim mine." And I said, "Wait a minute. Don't do that. Somebody has to have some sense on the highway." And I'm saying the same thing for us here in Birmingham. We are moving up a mighty highway toward the city of freedom. There will be meandering points. There will be curves and difficult moments, and we will be tempted to retaliate with the same force that the opposition will use. But I'm going to say to you, wait a minute, Birmingham. Somebody's got to have some sense in Birmingham. When life gets crazy, when we are in positions of high stress, whether it be a protective parent, a lover of Jesus and the Word, or taking sides politically for all our right reasons, we need to remember something. As Christians, we cannot resort to violence quickly, easily, and maybe even never. Even though the world that we are living in might say that it is okay or maybe even necessary to fight, this is not the people we were called to be. We are not called to be violent. And just like I said last week, we are not called to run. But we are called to love God and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And our neighbors, they include the people that we really do love and like, but also those that we don't. Those on the other side of the political divide. Those people who believe differently than we do. Those people who worship a different God than we do. Those people who are violent. Those people who pick on our kids on the playground. Those people who provoke us. Those people who hurt us. I don't understand it sometimes, maybe a lot of times. I don't like it a lot of times, especially when it's my kid getting picked on the playground. I want to forget it sometimes. And yeah, I'll be honest, I fail at it sometimes. But I don't get to pick and choose the times that it works for me. I am not called to a life where I get to justify my actions or reactions for my or my own people's benefit. It is time for us as the church to be the same ones, to be a people of peace, to be the ones that have sense, to see and understand, as MLK said, that when we choose to fight back, when we shoot our bright lights back, we both end up blinded. It is time for us not to fall into this trap of the world that we live in where we are constantly feeling the need to react, to fight, but where we use our lives as opportunities to point others to the light, to a Father that is with us no matter what. That we are a people of faith, not fight, a people of love, not hate. A people who are called to do the hard thing, and we will not run from it or back down from it, but we will sit in it, knowing that we have a Father who is mightier than anything else, a Father who is bigger than all the things, a Father who is with us and loves us and will not leave us, and a Father who more than anything knows what it is like to have his kid picked on the playground. And so today, I'm going to close with this. I'm going to use MLK's words back to us. Friends, we are moving on a mighty highway toward the city of freedom. There will be curves and difficult moments. There will be meandering points. And we will be tempted to retaliate with the same kind of force that the opposition will use. But I'm going to say to you, wait a minute, Bowling Green. Somebody has got to have some sense. And so I just ask that you be with us today and in the days to come as we feel this need to react, as we feel this need to fight, that we remember that you are with us in it. You are with us through it, and that you are calling us to be a people of faith, to be a people of courage, and to be a people who loves you and loves our neighbors as ourselves, and that is it. That you are not here, or you are not calling us to defend you or to take up for you or to do any of this. All we are doing is being your witnesses. We are here to point people towards you. And so help us remember that as we go about our days. Father, we love you. We thank you, and it's in your Son's name we pray.